Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Now, it's Ask the GP. Dr. Niall Breen from the Portmarnock GP Clinic is with me in studio to answer all of your questions. Niall, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Good. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. This listener says, my 11-year-old daughter has white head pimples on the tops of both of her arms. They don't seem to cause any problems. She's quite conscious of them though. So I'm wondering, what are they? And is there anything that I can do to try and clear them up?
Okay, well, it sounds a bit like a condition called molluscum, which is a sort of a viral-induced condition that predominantly children get, where they get these kind of, they're like little lumps that are filled with a kind of a cheesy consistency, and they tend to burn out themselves over time with no treatment, and they generally are just there. They don't cause anyone any problem. That would usually be best diagnosed by the person's own GP. So I think if somebody's conscious of something, I would get it looked at. But it sounds to me like something along the lines of molluscum, which if it is that, it just burns out over time.
So it's not something you can get over-the-counter cream or medication or something for?
There are some over-the-counter things, but a lot of the time, appropriately, pharmacists will be a little bit reticent to give something when it hasn't been diagnosed in case it's something else. Although I think the chances of something worrying here are very, very slim.
Yeah, OK. Now, this listener says, I'm wondering how or if I can get off cholesterol tablets. I'm on 10 milligrams and my cholesterol is 4.7. That's the total figure.
Okay, so this is a good question, and it's something that crops up in our surgeries all the time, and we're probably guilty of not explaining it well. So there are two types of people who take cholesterol tablets briefly. People who've had a heart attack or a stroke, and in that cohort of people, you should take the cholesterol tablet unless a doctor tells you otherwise, because it's really, really important. It prevents further heart attacks and strokes, and the evidence behind that is really rock solid. For somebody who has not had a heart attack or a stroke, the cholesterol total figure, 4.7, is good. But what's really important there is the breakdown in that. So you could have a total of 4.7, but your good is 1. Or you could have a total of 4.7 and your good is 2.8. So it really depends on the breakdown. If it's predominantly good cholesterol, there might be a case to come off it. If it's predominantly bad cholesterol, then there probably isn't. Mm. And we also work in things like, is the person a smoker? Do they have a family history of heart problems? So it's not really an easy thing. Everyone is really individual. But if that person has been started on a cholesterol tablet, I assume there's a benefit from it, and I would not stop it unless you're directed otherwise.
And that's obviously then, that's a decision for the GP to make. So if you're looking to get off it, this is something you need to chat to them about.
It is really, because we can do a thing called a Q-risk score, which gives us a percentage, and it's really easy to do in your own GP surgery. We just need a few things like your blood pressure, weight, a little bit of family history and your numbers, and that gives us a percentage. And it sounds a bit morbid, but that percentage kind of gives your risk of having a heart attack or a stroke in the next 10 years. And in essence, if it's higher than 10%, there's a benefit to you from taking a cholesterol tablet. If it's lower than 10%, there probably isn't a benefit.
And how easy is it to reduce your cholesterol? Like if you've been on, if you're on cholesterol tablets and that obviously, you know, kind of makes it level out, for you to then come off them, how easy is it to do that?
It really depends. So lifestyle factors, all the boring stuff, I'm afraid has to be in line.
Right.
The other thing people can do is you can get those drinks in the supermarket. I think Benecol is one of the brands. And those are actually refined medicines that we used to prescribe for cholesterol lowering years ago. And there is some evidence that they can help to bring the cholesterol down as well. But again, it really depends on the breakdown and that person's lifestyle factors as to whether they can stop taking it. But it's a really, really common question. And I would say to people, if you're thinking of stopping it, please tell us. Because a lot of the time I'm coming to renew a prescription, I may not have seen somebody in some time, they say, oh, I came off that. And it's quite dangerous in some cases to do that.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number if you have a question for Dr. Niall Breen. This listener says that they're currently choking with mucus at the back of their throat. Any suggestions as to what it is? It's leaving a salty taste in their mouth?
It's probably an upper airways infection of some sort. So your ears, your nose and your throat, they're all connected by a very complicated spaghetti junction. So there's something causing a blockage somewhere in there. So I think if they don't have a temperature, it depends on how long it's there. Mm. Simple decongestants over the counter, paracetamol if they have any discomfort, and it should pass with time. And if they're reasonably well, and it's not passing after kind of 7 to 10 days, yeah. I would then I would consider it going and seeing somebody. But up to then, I would manage it over the counter.
Okay, this listener says they've been getting momentary spells of dizziness while in bed or getting up over the last couple of weeks. I've never had it before. I am on medication for high blood pressure, but I think it's stable. I did fall and bang my head over Christmas, and I'm wondering if that could be affecting me.
Okay, well, the fall and the headbang is interesting. Again, you'd probably need to know a little bit more about that. People can have post-concussion syndromes that can really endure. But if that Christmas, I'm assuming, was December, so it's about 5 months ago.
5 months on.
I don't know all the details, obviously, but I would say that's probably not it. Again, it depends. Was the person knocked out cold? Mm. Are they on other medicines like blood thinners that can cause small bleeds at very minor provocation? So it depends on a few things like that. But momentary dizziness on somebody who's on a blood pressure tablet, getting up out of bed, wouldn't be unheard of. I suppose it depends on the person's age and do they have any other kind of conditions going on. Patients like that will sometimes do a lying and standing blood pressure to see if there's a significant postural drop. So if there is, that can be relevant. But if there isn't, it's probably making sure you're hydrated and get up a little bit slower. And the next time you're with your doctor, get them to check it and run it by them.
OK, this listener says there's numbness in the cartilage in my outer left ear. Sometimes it's very annoying, but when I press, it crackles like it's broken. Could this relate to sinus problems? I have it. I've had it since I've had the flu last June.
OK, well, I don't think it's related to the flu. Straight out the door. A bit of cartilage in the outer left ear wouldn't really relate to sinus problems or middle ear problems because it's completely separate to that. I'd say it's highly likely that if it crackles and presses like it's broken, then it's possible that they did have an injury at some point and they may have injured the cartilage there, and it doesn't really heal. It tends to swell. That's why you tend to see rugby players particularly with these big cauliflower ears. Now, the person doesn't mention it there, but no, I don't think it's any relation to sinus or issue like
okay.
that.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. My doctor has sent a referral to the breast clinic as I have a large lump in my breast. I'm wondering how long am I going to have to wait to hear back, though. I am currently in my 70s.
OK, so if that person's in their 70s, thinking about the criteria, they usually stratify it in three ways. I would imagine that would be stratified as a fairly urgent one, and that person should be seen relatively quickly. It's very difficult to put a time on that because there is some geographic variation. But in general, I find people who are repaired to a breast clinic, public or private, get seen and looked after quite quickly.
Yeah, OK. So maybe their GP might have some indication depending on the location or where they're based.
It depends on where they're based. I think what that person could do if they wanted to be proactive is if they have a look at where they were referred to, and there will be nurse specialists within that hospital and they're very approachable. Mm. And if they maybe try and speak to one of them and see whereabouts the referral is, your GP won't be able to do much because once a breast referral has a very strict kind of a tick box criteria, which works really well. So it looks through or it goes through the symptoms. You have to say which ones are there. And so somebody looks at that and they have a very specific algorithm. So a GP resending a referral won't change that.
This texter says they have red spots on their feet and legs from leaking capillaries under my skin. It looks like it's a rash. I'm in my 40s. Any advice on what I should do?
If they're saying leaking capillaries, it sounds like something that they might have diagnosed themselves. If it's on both sides, I suppose it can be for any reason. It can be due to tight fitting shoes, socks. It's rarely a circulatory issue in somebody like that. I suppose it would depend. Do they have swollen ankles? Are they on any medications? Mm. It's probably somebody I would want to examine and just check and make sure things like their blood pressure is okay. Very rarely that can be due to vascular issues. Vascular issues of concern usually present with pain, but not always. So that is one that I think could do it being checked out.
Okay. This listener just had an appendectomy last Wednesday through keyhole surgery, keyhole procedure. I'm wondering, though, how long is it until I can go swimming in a pool again?
This is really variable. So a laparoscopic appendectomy, different surgeons will say different things. I would say you're probably best to leave it 4 to 6 weeks. A lot of the time, I suppose, when someone has a laparoscopic procedure, there'll be three wounds. They'll be quite small. So the person will probably feel well. But I would probably just give it the 4 to 6 weeks. Now, different hospitals differ and different consultants kind of have different like views on that. So I would never try and overreach on what they would say. But I would imagine the standard is about 4 to 6 weeks.
Can HRT patches diminish your vitamin B12 levels? And does it have other bad side effects? Asks this texter.
Well, a HRT, I suppose we're prescribing much more of it now than we were about maybe the last 10, 15 years ago. Does it lower the B12? I'm not entirely sure about that, to be honest. I think if that person is concerned about their B12, you can get it checked fairly regularly. B12 is, it can be kind of broken down excessively in the stomach. That can lead to B12 deficiency. It's one of the few vitamins that we actually test for. So that I am not sure about. What was the second part of the question?
Does it have other bad side effects?
It has other potential side effects, but if the person has been started on it, then a risk profile will surely have been done. So their risk of coming a cropper with anything significant should have already been kind of fleshed out. It's a hormone-based medication. It depends. Some preparations contain only estrogen. Some contain estrogen and progesterone. They can cause a variety of different side effects. Okay. So it'd be worth maybe following up with the provider on that one.
Listener currently breastfeeding says that she's struggling with breastfeeding due to sore nipples. Tried various different creams, has had no relief. Have you any suggestions now?
There's one cream that's very good called, I think it's called Multimam or something like that, that you can get over the counter in the pharmacy. Now, I'm sure this person sounds like they've probably been proactive. Your public health nurse can be a brilliant support in situations like that. And then sometimes if somebody has extremely sore nipples when they're breastfeeding, there could be an issue with thrush or something similar. So it might be worth getting that checked out.
Okay, that's through your public health nurse or the GP?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And just very finally, I'm 22 and sometimes I get sudden sharp pains around the bottom of my ribs where it's extremely painful to take a deep breath in. I smoke from time to time. The pain often happens when I'm lying down or propped up. I also have Raynaud's disease, which is linked to my circulation. What do you think the pain could be coming from?
Raynaud's, I don't think would be causing this pain. It sounds to me like a condition called costochondritis, which is where the cartilage around the ribs can get inflamed and can be quite painful. The important to know, is that person taking the oral contraceptive pill? Are there any other symptoms? But that would be my impression.
All right. Okay. Dr. Niall Breen from the Portmarnock GP Clinic. Thanks a million, Niall, for joining us here on the programme today. If you have any questions for Niall that we didn't get to, you can send those in to us. The email, of course, is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.